It's fine. Good morning, dear hearts, and welcome to the United Lodge of Theosophists here in Philadelphia. This morning, we're going to continue with a book called Universal Theosophy. This book is a compilation of talks given by Robert Crosby, and we're fortunate that they were transcribed by students so that we have them. They are precious. This morning, we're going to consider a talk he called A League of Humanity. Before we get started, however, we're going to bring you up to date on some announcements and introduce you once again to the United Lodge of Theosophists Declaration. You're here on Sunday, as on all Sundays. We begin at 11 p.m. sharp and end at noon. As we said, the League of Humanity today, next week, where the topic will be the power of suggestion. We have one other meeting during the summer, and that's on Wednesday evenings. That begins at 7:45 and goes to 9 o'clock. We're currently considering the Bhagavad Gita, 5,000-year-old treatise on the psychology of Eastern peoples. Before Wednesday meetings, there is a library in front of the building. It's a reference library, and that's open from 5:30 to 7:30. There's a student there who can help you find what you're looking for to study, to read, whatever you need to do, to bone up on a part, to read the message for that evening. As you came in, you passed the book table. That book table is open before and after all meetings. It is equipped with the straight line theosophical teachings. Everything on that table is at our cost. There is no profit to be made on anything sold in this lodge. Well, I think that's all for the announcements. Let's see, this lodge, as all lodges around the world, are the doors are kept open by the voluntary contributions of time, service, and monies by the students that attend. All of these are needed and are gratefully accepted. We need to keep the bricks and mortar open so that you have a place to come. We are very fortunate in Philadelphia to have a lodge and such a beautiful lodge in us. I think that's it for the announcements. The Declaration of the United Lodge of Theosophists. The policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of theosophy without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave it the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of theosophy and the exemplification in practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however situated, is similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching, and therefore has neither constitution, bylaws, nor officers. The sole bond between its associates being that basis. And it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as theosophists all those who are engaged in the true service of humanity without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization. And it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves by study and otherwise to be the better able to help and teach others. The true theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. This morning we're going to have the part from A League of Humanity summarized.
We're doing paragraphs 5, 6, 7, and 8 as summary. Where shall we find the true foundation for a changed civilization that everyone can see and rely upon? Knowledge. Knowledge that is greater than all the forms of religion ever invented, the knowledge of the very nature of the man himself, for himself, and in himself. The source of all powers and of all actions, whether good or evil, is the same in all beings, above the human and below the human, the very root of our natures. We are not here as things apart. We are here because of one great sustaining cause, infinite and omnipresent, not separate from us nor from any other being. It is. Everything done by beings affects all other beings. All that is has been caused by beings, each then affected by that cause according to its share in that cause. What the past has been, we are experiencing now. What the future will be, we are making now. The lives to come depend on the choice and direction of our own thoughts and actions now. War is the result of the warring spirit, of the selfishness of mankind, the result of our failure to understand the great purpose of life, the nature of our minds, the one law of absolute justice, the one goal for every pilgrim, no matter how the path varies. When men are brought to the perception that everyone reaps exactly what he sows, no one will then do harm to any other being. There will be no war. To realize our own responsibility to all others and to then act in accordance with that realization is to have become unselfish. and to have done away, therefore, with the prime cause of sin, sorrow, and suffering. False ideas, false conceptions, false ideals. We have believed we were born by the will of some God. We have imagined an impossible heaven and an equally impossible hell. We have believed that we are poor, weak, miserable sinners, and have acted that way. Thus, we have remained irresponsible creatures, mere rationalized animals. We have dodged our responsibility. We must guide ourselves according to the nature of our own reality. We must take care of each other, not of ourselves, according to the personal basis on which this and every other nature in the world is proceeding today. We will have a league of humanity when the ancient truths of the wisdom religion are once more perceived, one purpose and one teaching. Its truths are self-evident, the only truths worth considering, because in the use of those truths, they prove themselves true. And truth, as we ought to know, always explains. When we have the explanation, we have the truth. There is truth, and it has always existed, but each has to make his own verification of the truth. Truth that has come to us from beings who pursued the course pointed out to them as leading to spiritual divine perfection. They come again and again to present the truths of life to man, hoping that some echo may be aroused in his soul so that he too shall arrive at a realization of self, of spirit, which is knowledge.
Interesting part. I'm sure together we can get through this. Any questions? Yes.
We're wondering, this is really in paragraph 4, that it says a league of nations can only fulfill its purpose by a common aim and by a like ideal. And yet, on the next page, on top of 95, a league of nations among similar selfish nations can only bring what self-interest always brings, disaster of some kind. So we're trying to think of...
Perfectly in line.
Which one are we in now? When we look at our League of Nations, we're wondering that common aim and like of ideal maybe is not as deeply imbued in have today as it should be.
Well, the League of Nations, give you a little bit of background on that, on why it was formed. Formed in 19... You can't hear me? It's my voice. Okay. The League of Nations formed in like 1920 from an idea by the president at that time, Woodrow Wilson. However, the United States, even though it was their idea to form this League of Nations, didn't join it. I think it was the Senate at the time said, no, let's stay isolated. Let's take a position of isolationism and not concern ourselves with all these problem nations around the world. We got involved in that. It cost us a lot of men. And this country doesn't want to be at war, so let's stay isolated. They were followed by other powers at the time who said the same exact thing. And therefore, the League of Nations was kind of inert, didn't do a job. And what you had was a bunch of nations that were selfish to begin with. Their leadership got those countries into the position that they were in. So if you take a bunch of people, i.e. the representatives of those nations, and you put them in a room and they don't change the way they think, you're going to come out with what you went in with. I mean, if you plant, what is it, mustard seeds, you're going to get, you're not going to get bananas. So if you go in with the wrong ideas, the wrong ideals, selfish attitude, give me, and I don't care what you get, you're going to come out, you have planted, once again, the seeds of devastation. That second paragraph says that if you change those ideals, then you'll have what you went into the meeting looking for. Any meeting, there's a definition of meetings that they you take minutes and waste hours. and that's what happens when you have those bad ideals going in. There has to be a commonality of goal, of ideals that are not selfish. Yes.
But we can't force ideals on other people. And paragraph 9, we think, says it so well, that when we try to prohibit behavior, it actually exasperates the evil nature. That we don't need to prohibit, we need to educate. So how can we, as individuals, help educate other countries?
Well, that's a good point. You can't change others. You can show them by example and let them change themselves into the way that you are behaving and acting. It's like you meet anger. If you see anger, you meet it with calmness. If you see dispassion is presented to you, meet it with compassion. You have to change the way that you react to what you see and show them that there's a better way. If you change, it makes it more difficult for them to remain the way they are. And that's what you're really trying to do. By making it more difficult for them, they may come around to the way that you have showed them by example. Yes, ma'am.
Well, a very good example of exactly this approach is the Peace Corps. Well, I mean, I know individuals who have done Peace Corps work, and it goes on the principle if you give somebody a fish, they don't have a fish. But if you teach them to fish, they know what to do. And that is the principle on which the Peace Corps was done. And that's one of those individual efforts that individuals can exert themselves and help others. But it's such an infinitesimal effort.
It is indeed. But it's the small ones that add up. You know, you can't get the whole hog. You got to go small piece by small piece by small piece. Show by example. Show one example. Show another. Show another. When the time presents itself for you to do that. Teaching of the fish, they eat the rest of their lives. You're right. That's a biblical, that has biblical foundations. Yes?
Well, if we go back to 1776 and come forward, first trying to understand the federal papers, the system of government that was started in this country. Then we go forward to the Civil War, and afterwards, when the United Philosophical Society came to this country by way of HPB, and progress. So if we teach optimism, that nothing could be built in a day, and that things are moving very swiftly, we'll see that most of the world follows the American way, even though they fail often in the process. So let's get away from it and take a look, and there's reason for hope.
Well, I appreciate the comment. Thank you. Showing people what to do, how to do it, is one thing. Then them accomplishing it is quite another. And you have to be patient, because you're teaching by example. And I don't know about other people, but we have to be shown more than once. Yes.
And along with that teaching is more than once, is also being there to give them support, to let them know. Not just that's it, and now we're off to another village, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's educating, and hope that they acquire the knowledge that you're showing them. With the education you're trying to give them. But education is an expensive and time-consuming task. So along with the education that you're teaching, patience is a great virtue. Yes?
Yeah. On page 95. What the past has been, we are experiencing now. Our lives now being but repetition of lives that preceded them. The key here is what the future will be, we are making now.
Yeah, today's is yesterday's future. You are what you are because of where you were, what you did, what you thought. That what you just read is karma. It is a definition of karma. We are what we made in the past. Yes?
And even if we feel we can't possibly have anyone around us that we can teach, they're smarter than we are, they're more capable than we are, that has nothing to do with the quality of our own thinking. And that has an effect on inner planes of being. It is said that if we are hopeful, and we should be, just by this article alone, if we carry that seed of hope within us, it spreads out to anyone who is looking for hope. So in our own small way, we can light up other people's lives, not personally, but impersonally.
Yes, thank you. That's a great comment. It's contagious, is what you're saying.
Thank you.
And it works. You know, you put out good thoughts, and things do change for the positive. You walk into a room and you smile when there's no smiles in the room, and people start to change. You can look at it. You can see it. You study the people in the room, and you can actually see a change made by just one person walking into the room. It's incredible. Yes.
I think what we are doing here is very important, even though it may be just talking and exchanging ideas, but there are seeds planted, and I personally find it very stimulating.
And it's not the first time you've heard these. It's not the first life you've been presented with these ideas either. You're here because there's something that tells you to be here. And it's seeds from the past, from previous lives. You've heard this information, and it rang a resounding bell within you. Yes?
Well, I'm not as informed as I should be about it, but a gentleman, not from... from America, I don't remember what country at this point, started what he called microfinancing, where instead of a big bank loaning large sums to corporations, this was a small outfit loaning startup funds to individuals, and it was especially to women in poorer countries, loaning them $100, and they would buy yarn, and then they produced things and started selling them, paid their loan back immediately. So this has been taking off now, and in America, we have a couple of banks that are doing it, microfinancing the underprivileged with small amounts of money to give them the opportunity to be their own source of income. And now that's a small way of creating a league of humanity.
The gentleman was from India. The one who started the program. The one who started the program is from India.
From India. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I was wondering, when you were talking about that, I'm thinking, that's very altruistic, but what, you know, are they in it for...
No,
they
it's
must
not
be...
altruistic. It is literally paying for itself. I don't think anyone's making a great profit, but it's sustaining the company that is doing this microfinancing. Because if you didn't sustain it, you couldn't help the next person.
Exactly.
And the women are themselves encouraging other women to do it, so you're finding this economy that's sustainable in these little villages.
So hopefully you come out of it with a domino effect, mm-hmm. and that these women, if they are successful, and hopefully they are, then they can pay forward and lend someone else. And so the domino effect. Yes. Yes.
Could we talk about the last paragraph? I think this is the most serious statement that has ever been delivered to me as an individual. Maybe it could be read.
We are here at the best as the best representatives of the people of the world, the most intelligent, the freest in mind and opinion, and freest in action. All that means something under law, and it means that every being coming in contact with the ancient wisdom has an opportunity devolved upon him. We have not met for the first time, nor have we met for the last. Once more we are together and listening to what we do absolutely know inside. There is that in us which sees and knows when the word is spoken, which gives first indication of the life within a life. Of a life greater than this we have conceived life to be. Then we begin to tread that small old path that stretches far away, that path that our great predecessors, the masters, have trod before us. There's another, that's a great paragraph, a great paragraph. H.P. Blavatsky said something similar. Let me read this. Theosophists are of necessity the friends of all movements in the world, whether intellectual or simply practical, for the amelioration of the condition of mankind. We are the friends of all those who fight against drunkenness, against cruelty to animals, against injustice to women, against corruption in society, or in government, although we do not meddle in politics. We are the friends of those who exercise practical charity. We seek to lift a life of the tremendous weight of misery that is crushing down the poor. The function of theosophists is to open men's hearts and understandings to charity, to justice, and generosity, attributes which belong specifically to the human kingdom and are natural to men, when he has developed the qualities of a human being. Theosophy teaches that animal man to be a human man, and when people have learned to think and feel as truly human beings should think and feel, they will act humanly, and works of charity, justice, and generosity will be done spontaneously by all. Yes.
I think it's interesting to remember that HPB's mother was considered the George Sand of Russia. She wrote novels to awaken people to the mistreatment of women. And HPB's grandmother, her mother's mother, was a famous botanist, one of the few female scientists in Europe that other male scientists respected and kept in communication with. And evidently her botanical collection was celebrated throughout Europe. So these ideas are part of a family line as well.
Well, I didn't know that about the grandmother. I did read about the mother.
Read about the grandmother, because it was using those, what do you call them, those botanical individual, you know, this bug or this...
strains?
Well, this animal, this bug, whatever she had, that HPB herself would sit with and tell the other children the story of that animal, that creature. So it became a very large part of her childhood.
I'll have to look at it. Yes.
And lest we think otherwise, on page 97, often the ideas given out by men in high places are not the result of their own cognition, although thought to be such. Many of the ideas received by those who have the ear of the public to speak and would be heard. Those with a far deeper knowledge of the issues at stake, yet whose voices would not be heard at all. So though there may seem to be little action on the part of philosophical disciples, there is much action on inner planes of being, and that action never but for the benefit of humanity. So it would appear that our coming together in many places such as this does have an effect, although we don't see, we couldn't determine how.
The influence of these meetings. When you leave these meetings, you influence everybody you meet. I almost hate that. when you leave these meetings, you influence everyone. In your family, around your family, your near and far reaching. When you influence someone positively, they influence, and it goes out and ripples from a pond. Yes.
We're also told that it changes us at a cellular level. We start attracting a higher level of substance for our bodies and for our brains, and that makes us even more porous to these ideas. Some writer said, if we ever wanted spiritual wisdom the way we want air, we would be adepts in no time.
Thank you. Yes?
And we repeated it once before, but it has come to our knowledge that in some of the very important high level of medical schools, scientific schools, they are holding seminars now, which include many of the articles that we ourselves hear. So even science has begun to take up these ideas and add it to their medical training and the young people who will be treating our grandchildren in the future. It will not only be just a pill 3 times a day. These teachings will be included.
You're right. There are many areas of in science that are expanding to include things that we talk about here. We talk about positive thinking. We talk about how you think and feel are directly proportional rather than indirectly proportional. We talk about music. We talk about art. We talk about literature. We talk about all the great teachers of the world. And those words do come back in a positive way. Yes.
As you pass people, look at them, smile, and try to make eye contact. It's just amazing what happens. I mean, sometimes you make friends.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much at all. And it doesn't cost you anything to spread a good thought, a smile. Helen Keller, for whenever men and women pause a while each day for happy thoughts and fair visions, they are refreshed for work and the difficulties of life. Yes.
And if we pay attention to the younger people today, even though it may appear to some that they are flighty and this and that, we notice deep down inside a difference between the young people of today and even ourselves in terms of what is truth, who am I, where did I come from, where am I going? And so we have to have faith, even though some are going through terrible trials, they seem to have something that we ourselves didn't come upon until we were much older.
Yeah, I guess one of the things we always try to look at is the difference between the way the young people are today and we are is pretty much the difference of the young people that's in us. When I look at the young person in us, take a look at the young person in you and the older person in you. Is there a difference in the way you look at that younger person? Sure there is. Yeah. And you just can't do what that younger person wants to do. You can't go where that younger person used to go. You don't think the way that younger person used to think. It's kind of analogous to looking at a teenager today and yourself and trying to compare them. I see a lot of similarities when I do that. Yes.
I feel very sorry for teenagers today. I mean, it was hard enough when I was growing up. Now there are a million times more choices, more temptations, more options. But they also seem to have a different level of development, which Theosophy addresses, that more and more egos will be coming with better vehicles, and they'll be better able to do some of the things we can't do now. So again, it points towards hope. And remember, we'll be back soon, and we'll be teenagers again.
Yeah, exactly. I was, you're talking about then and now, and I was looking at an article yesterday, as a matter of fact, and it was comparing 2010 with 1910. Incredible. The life expectancy of men was 47 years old. So do we have better vehicles? Yeah, and there'll be better vehicles to come, and it's educating those vehicles. That is the key. Yes?
It seems that one thing that we learned, it's not about you, yourself, personally. And that's the biggest wall of decline. It's not about us at all, personally. And if we can get over that egoism, no matter what life has been or what we have done, get over yourself and you will be able to help others locally as well and expand that outwardly. We're always thinking of, well, I did this and I'm that, I'm so good.
Yeah, me, my mind. Yeah. You have to lose that. You have to get rid of that. That's the number one sin, selfishness. And that's what it's all about. It's what I want. Yes?
We see an influx or an increase, I think, of maybe it has to do with the world being much smaller in terms of communicating. Of young people going out to help. We've had many disasters. I mean, 9/11. A lot of young people went off, stopped what they're doing to help. The tragedy in Haiti, a lot of young people went. Young people went to help with Katrina. I mean, you could go on and on and on. But there is something about young people today, lots of them, who go out to help. And I don't think that happened 100 years ago.
Well, you're right. There are more volunteers. Volunteerism is at an all-time high, and especially when there's a tragedy. If I can relate something, I was at an airport and a disaster happened and we had to be grounded. And two people that were sitting next to me, and I didn't know at the time, were on the ground with me. We were shuttled way away from the airport and we saw the disaster happening and they were adamantly yelling for someone in authority to get them from where they were over to where they could help. One was a doctor, the wife was a nurse. People do help in tragedies, more so than in everyday, than the everyday trials of life. But when there is a tragedy, people rise to it. If they kept that spirit a little longer, just hours after they're relieved of their duties, it would help. Yes?
I remember something from what you were saying. When 9/11 happened and our air traffic practically stopped, I remember reading a story about a plane that was grounded in Greenland for several days. And the people there took all the people on the plane in like they were friends. They fed them, they just treated them until they could get on with their journey. It was a beautiful story about people helping people in need.
You're right, I remember reading that story And my thought at the time was it should be splashed all over the front page. Instead of third column on a sixth page or somewhere, people should see the good news as readily as they make the bad news present to us. Yes?
Well, it also happened either in Nova Scotia or Canada. It was like maybe 8 jumbo jets.
Yeah.
And the people took them all in. And they recently did a documentary on their return to that village, all those that wanted to, and the celebration of friendship they had. We wanted to address a point made earlier about the influence of thought. We were recently at a conference when the speaker asked a very high-level, very difficult scientific question of the audience. We didn't even understand the question, but the answer popped right into our head. We didn't say anything because we knew we didn't know anything about the question, but then someone else answered with that answer. It was the first time I ever realized we steal from each other sometimes without even knowing it.
Yeah.
That answer is there so vividly, we pick up on it. It doesn't mean anything because we don't have the background for it, but it's a proof of how we do influence each other.
It's that still, quiet voice that talks to you. You almost like they're over your shoulder and they're talking to you and someone else at the same exact time. Yeah. In the back, yeah.
Another example, page 97, at the bottom of that middle paragraph, once the ideas are planted, we can help by exemplifying them. And what comes to mind is an experience that we had where a verbal abuse was directed toward us. Our response was such that and the question to me was, well, why didn't you? It's something of why didn't you react? Well, I said Joe Louis would never have become champion if he didn't have a good sparring partner.
Yeah. One of the cabinet members of Abraham Lincoln. And a close friend of Abraham Lincoln said to him, why do you keep that guy on your cabinet? He constantly argues with you all the time in these meetings. He said, he's the most constructive guy I've got. I listen to his ideas and weigh it against the agreement of the others. You have to look. You have to be willing to look at the other side. Yes, Tom.
Yeah, it was interesting how he says, you know, these ideas have to reach the people, and we have to remember, you know, it's 100 years later now, and we had a second blast of these ideas through the community wage. And it hit, and the kids who were kids during that time period, say, you know, 1980 to 2000, are now parents of teenagers. And teenagers, their kids get it. You know, there's not a teenager I've ever talked to that didn't automatically know karma and accept it. And sometimes they'll just rephrase it. Yep, what comes around goes around. It's broadly accepted. In fact, I was talking to an administrator in the school district who was probably in her early 30s, and mentioned to her something about a classroom that I was changing. Load out of her, she says, well, that would change the whole karma of the room. And I think, you know, in the school district of Philadelphia 20 years ago, for anybody to say that would be shunned.
Yeah.
You know? So it's there. I think the challenge more today for young people is to help them synthesize the ideas, all these ideas, and help them recognize that they're all, these new ideas are all one part entire pattern or an entire philosophy, because the seeds sprout.
Yeah, it's like you give them a dictionary and they know a couple words. They have to grasp the deeper meanings of the words.
And the connectivity of these New Age ideas, that it's all part of the fabric of one philosophy.
Yeah, exactly right. You're exactly right. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's a very interesting comment, and it's something that things seem to come in waves. I mean, we've had the hippie generation in the 60s, and now we have the Green Movement. And back in the 20s, my parents were hippies. They were vegetarians. They were running on. My dad was had long hair, and they were Buddhists, and who knows what else. That was in the early 20s. It's amazing how things just and I just heard on a radio program from the puppets, a music program, about a young woman who is a harpist. She lives in a community somewhere in nowhere, and they all walk barefoot. They don't wear shoes, and they are sustain themselves. And you get these things that happen.
Yeah, and they all survive regardless of what everyone else says about them. They survive.
I mean, this young lady,
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Living off the land.
It doesn't matter, you know. And what people do, because of their beliefs, their creed, it really doesn't matter. What matters is, are they good people, right? If you've never heard of theosophy, but you're a good person. If you've never seen the Bible, you're a good person. Are you a good person? Does it matter if you've never seen the literature as to the way you behave? Yes, in the back.
Basically, our task is not to make anyone read theosophy, study theosophy, or be a theosophist. It's to permeate the mind of the human race with the realization of karma. Once you realize, wait a minute, everything I have, good or bad, is my own fault. And everything I want, I have to do. I have to earn. If humanity began to think that way, as it says in our part, there would be no war. What would you be fighting for? It's all because of you anyway. So our basic duty is to teach karma. And then with that, of course, comes reincarnation, the way karma works.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Thanks for the comment. Yes?
And that's a fact, because in our relationships, one of the things that we can always do if we have our eyes and ears open is when someone begins to punish themselves for what they've done, you can relieve them by explaining to them, well, that's due to something that happened maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, or even 50 years ago, whether you knew it or not. But it stirs their thinking. And then they begin to realize that what karma, law, means, it is no longer something to frighten them, but something to work through now.
Yeah, they understand, people understand, like everything Newton told about the action and reaction and karma is, I mean, for us in this room, it comes so natural to understand karma and to see karma in everything. You know, we're self-constructed identities. We made ourselves. And everything that happens to us, every thought we have, is from that construction. And that's the idea that other people out, not in this room, for instance, need to come up with. Once they grasp that idea that everything in their life, they construct it. It works. it's easy to contend with. Your neighbor is no good. Oh, why? What? It makes it more self-explanatory, more easy to understand, and easier to cope, and easier to amend. Yes, ma'am.
Some people think of karma as a way of punishment, that if you do bad things, they come back to you. And one of the things, as she says, we need to teach people about karma. But what's so important is that people know, when I do something good, it comes back. It's dwelling on the positive, not on, oh yeah, if you do something bad, something bad's going to happen to you. Turn it around and teach people, if you do good things,
well, people only,
they'll come back.
Yeah, it's like people only remember the bad things. They don't remember the good karma. They don't appreciate the good things that happen to them in their lives, and they construct them as well. Ralph Nader said, when strangers start acting like neighbors, communities are reinvigorated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ideas. You just start small and big changes come about. You can add a slice to a pie and next another slice and another slice, and before you know it, you have a complete circle, complete pie. We're almost out of time, and there's a couple of things I wanted to read to you. Never, if possible, lie down at night without being able to say, I have made one human being a little wiser, a little happier, or a little better this day. That comes from an author, Charles Kingsley, from the 1700s, 18th century. There is a very real benefit to be gained by raising our ideals. No matter how often we may fail these ideals, the recognition of them and the inner resolve to do better will strengthen our character. And the next time, we will return to an ideal more quickly. By practice, we will eventually gain what we seek. In the grand picture of the whole, if we truly live in peace with our family, with our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, all others, meeting anger with calm, hatred with kindness, offenses with justice and benevolence, giving each person that respect due to a fellow human being and a potential God, then a beginning we will have been made. We will have made. We cannot change another, but we can change ourselves, and our living example does not leave others untouched. The ripples of right action will spread wide and forever, till no one will be left unchanged, and better and bigger reality and consciousness will have been attained. Perhaps, just perhaps, we will have begun to start a new start of a League of Humanity. Meeting adjourned.